Coming up on Red and Gold, we take a look back on Chiefs linebacker Derek Johnson's third consecutive Pro Bowl season.
It's absolutely blown up!
Stamped by Johnson.
Derek Johnson is all over the place.
Then we hear from the man in charge, Chiefs head coach Andy Reid.
Yeah, the guys, they were fired up. You could just feel the energy coming out of that room.
And later, we flash back to 1 year ago at Radio City Music Hall.
The Kansas City Chiefs select Eric Fisher.
As our 65 TPT crew went behind the scenes with the 2013 number one overall pick, Eric Fisher.
You know, I wanted to be number one in this, and the fact that that just happened is just awesome.
How you doing, Eric? Real good. Congratulations.
Hey, thank you so much.
It's all next on this edition of Chiefs Red and Gold.
See you later.
Hey everyone, welcome to another edition of Red and Gold. As always, I'm your host, Rachel Sanchi. The NFL draft is less than 1 week away. Can you believe it? The most anticipated event of the offseason has the entire Chiefs kingdom buzzing, and fans cannot wait for the first round to kick off this Thursday night. In 2005, the Chiefs used their first-round pick to select the hard-hitting, versatile linebacker out of the University of Texas, Derek Johnson. In his 9 seasons in Kansas City, Johnson has been a centerpiece of the Chiefs' defense and currently ranks as the third leading tackler in Chiefs' history. In this week's Spotlight, the men of Press Row look back at DJ's 2013 season and explain what makes him such an important piece of the Chiefs' defense.
A physical freak, and I think his game has taken tremendous strides. He felt like Derek Johnson could have some great success, especially with the way Bob Sutton was going to utilize him.
It's absolutely blown up!
Gets stamped by Johnson.
Picked up by Derek Johnson! Derek Johnson came on the blitz. Now they've turned the dogs loose.
When he didn't get into the Pro Bowl on the initial count, you heard the fans grumble. You heard the broadcasters and the media grumble, but he didn't.
He's had a lot of good seasons. He was already a Pro Bowler, but this was by far his best season.
He wasn't going to talk about it, but when he got into the Pro Bowl and then you saw the performance that led to being the defensive MVP, you got the idea that he was hurt. And so instead of taking it to the media and talking about it, he went out there and proved that he belonged on the field.
First quarter coming up momentarily.
He wins the defensive MVP in the Pro Bowl, knocks the heck out of Jamal, and then talks about how he should have been drafted higher. What else could you ask for?
He brought to that game what he brings every time, his blood and his sweat and his determination to make the play.
The information, the experience that he's had over the course of his career is really lined up with, you know, all the physical gifts that are absolutely still there.
Derek Johnson is all over the place.
It was amazing to see how hard he's working. He was absolutely everywhere. The speed and strength there, it was something to watch.
Yeah, I look back, I think the first game against the Raiders, he was all over the field.
Set! Derek Johnson, the 9th-year linebacker.
Sideline to sideline, inside linebacker that you have to account for on every play, and it felt like his name was called over and over again.
Roy Helu is intercepted. It's picked off.
The Redskins game picks off RG3. RG3's coming for
him. There goes Derek Johnson.
And Derek hammered RG3. Make a huge play. Not done yet. This quarterback's going to come over here and think that he's going to hit me. I'm going to hit him. Like, that was my favorite Derek Johnson play of the entire year. I loved it.
Chiefs fans aren't going to want to remember this, but it was the Pro Bowl and the hit that he had on Jamal. What is he doing? Like, do not hit the franchise running back like that.
Jamal saying, you have to be kidding me.
There's no second gear with him. It's either full throttle or he's on the sideline.
I think it might have been after the Denver loss. He felt responsible. That's why he's Derek Johnson. He has such a passion for the game. He's taking it upon himself as to why they lost.
That stuff drives him crazy. And more often than not, that defense, with him as the leader, they did get the job done last year.
Y'all good, right?
Yeah,
just keep knocking them back, dog.
The guys, they really do trust Derek because he has weathered a lot of storms. A lot of good things have happened for him because of his tenacity.
Run! It's a run!
There's nothing that's going to deter him on the football field or off the football field he hasn't already gone through. So when you're talking about mental toughness, you can lean on Derek Johnson because he's been through those very difficult situations. And if there's ever a guy you want to root for, it's DJ, because he's shown great perseverance to build an outstanding career with the Chiefs.
Let's go, baby!
He's a leader on that defense. He's a leader in the locker room. You can see it immediately. I don't know if there's another guy you'd rather have playing that spot for you.
So I think with the younger players, this is a rock. They can go to this guy, but he doesn't shy away from that kind of responsibility.
Hey, let's go, man.
You know, you always hear that certain players make everybody else around them better. Derek does that.
We got a chance, baby. Second and long.
So I like to see him understand that you are the man. Raise the level of the play of your teammates. Accept that, embrace that, and still be who you are, because he can do that.
I know it's only May, but it's sure starting to feel like football season around One Arrowhead Drive. With off-season workouts in full swing and the draft less than a week away, things have been pretty busy around here. And earlier this week, our very own Mitch Holthus was lucky enough to catch up with the man himself, Chiefs head coach Andy Reid.
Coach, last year was so exciting. The kingdom is back. You ignited the kingdom. Any off-season feeling? Did you get some people coming to you, the excitement carrying into this season about this now being at a whole nother level?
Yeah, the guys, they came back today, and they were fired up. You could sense it walking into the room with them. I talked to a few of them here and there during the off season, but all of them together here, you could just feel the energy coming out of that room. I know the way the season ended. I talked to them after that game that there's some great things as a young football team that you can learn from this. It's going to make you better next year. It's even going to build that foundation stronger next year for you as you continue to grow as a team through 2014. So, you know, that's where we're at right now. Barry has the guys down there lifting, and the coaches get to visit with them in their rooms and go over some of the off-season studies that we put together for them and that we've done as coaches. They can learn from the film work there.
I want to ask you about Barry Rubin and his guys, because I've said this publicly. It's not only you coming here, it's the people that you brought with you. What about his staff? And this is kind of their playoff season. What about the job he does?
Barry does a great job. Both Barry and his staff that he has. He's got a handful of guys that work with him in there, and they just get in there and they put these programs together for the players that challenge them. But at the same time, it's a workout that can make them a better football player. So it's as job specific as you can do and still gain strength and speed throughout the offseason to become the best football player that you can become. Some of it includes nutrition, and then some of it's just good old grunt work, and let's get out there and knock it out and get done what we need to do to be bigger, faster, stronger.
And how much in your career have you seen guys actually jump to another level by what they've done during this time period of the year?
It depends on where they are in their career. So you can get a young guy in and you'll see great jumps that are made there in strength and size, right? So some of the kids come in and they haven't been on a good nutrition program. So you can teach them about that, and then they get in, they haven't lifted consistently. They're going to school, doing what they have to do there. So now it's a condensed period of time that they can work in the weight room. And then the older guys, normally you don't see the same huge strides being made. And some of that's balance there. So once you hit about 25 in this business, you kind of want to drop 1 pound a year. You don't want to gain weight. You want to lose weight, but still maintain speed and strength.
You have a nice pulse on the kingdom. You love these fans. Now we're rolling into draft time, going into this next part of this. What have you picked up from enthusiasm that you've seen in the offseason? And what would you tell the kingdom now going into this next phase?
Okay, so I told my wife, I said, I knew coming here the fans were wild. So that draft day party was the most unbelievable thing I had ever seen. When I walked in there, I go, oh my gosh. And this is only like a 12th of what you're going to have in Arrowhead. I'm going, we're going to need to put new support systems into Arrowhead Stadium. And that's what it was. So that thing just, that blew me out of the water, the draft day party. And then the next part of that was that day that they broke the decibels. I'm going, they are unbelievable. Now, Seattle captured it. My challenge to the Kingdom is, we're bringing it back, man. It's coming back to Arrowhead. And not just one game, but we're going 8 to 10 games in Arrowhead. Let's knock it out.
Stay tuned. When Red and Gold returns, we head to the film room with voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, and former Chiefs long snapper, Kendall Gammon, as they break down Jamaal Charles' brilliant 2013 season.
Touchdown, Jamaal Charles!
And later, we flash back 1 year ago.
We're going to take him.
With Chiefs first-round draft pick, Eric Fisher. Welcome back to Red and Gold. This Thursday night, the 32 newest members of the NFL will be chosen in round one of the NFL Draft at Radio City Music Hall. Although many consider the first round to be the most exciting, there are many talented players selected throughout draft weekend. You never know when the next NFL superstar will be picked. Case in point, Chiefs running back Jamaal Charles. Drafted out of the University of Texas in 2008, the Chiefs selected Jamaal Charles in the third round with the 73rd overall pick. Jamaal was the eighth running back taken in the draft. Yeah, I'd say Jamaal in the third was a steal for sure. 6 years later, Jamaal is an All-Pro and the NFL's all-time leader in career yards per carry average among running backs. In 2013, he torched defenses on the ground and through the air. In this week's Chiefs Live Overdrive, we head to the film room and break down the dynamic playmaking ability of Jamaal Charles.
And on Charles, run to the near side, he's got the open field.
It's going to be hit and obliterated.
It's sacked by Tom Mahoney.
What's the throw for Bolly?
At the 30, at the 20.
Jamaal Charles had a phenomenal season. He had one of the best years in NFL and Chiefs history as an all-purpose back. He had 19 touchdowns. That led the National Football League. And Kendall, he accounted for nearly 40% of the entire Chiefs offense. So how did he go to another level?
Mitch, I think when head coach Andy Reid came to town, he recognized in Jamaal Charles a running back with true deep threat ability. This, coupled with the running skills he had, allowed offensive coordinator Doug Peterson to get as creative as they liked. Here's an example, Oakland, week 6.
The Chiefs are facing a big third and long early in the game with three wide receivers and a tight end split out wide. They're leading the defense to think they're going to pass the ball downfield, but Alex is going screen all the way. Facing man coverages, these receivers are going to simply clear their defenders completely out of the picture. Jamaal is then able to slip past the pass rush and follow a wall of blockers to an easy third down conversion.
A well-executed screen of 25 yards.
That's a perfect match of a great play design, perfectly utilizing a great player. Another example came in week 4 against the Giants. Facing third and goal from the 2, a touchdown would put the Chiefs up 3 scores, effectively putting the game away. Before the play begins, Dexter McCluster motions across the formation, faking a reverse and pulling a corner to the opposite side of the play. Meanwhile, Dwayne Bowe and Sean McGrath will run routes into the flat, taking 2 more defenders that way. The pre-snap motion confuses the defense and they forget all about Jamaal underneath.
And sprint out action, wide open, touchdown, Jamaal Charles!
Touchdown, game over, and they really made it look easy.
Kendall, that was an impressive play at the time. It was almost like every week, Andy Reid and Doug Peterson were thinking of new ways of using Jamaal. Wheel routes, screen plays, and then out of the pistol formation with zone reads with Alex Smith. He became a matchup nightmare.
Mitch, he was a matchup nightmare, and oftentimes you saw him lining up at wide receiver, and not just as a decoy, as we'll see here, week 1, Jacksonville.
The Chiefs are deep in Jacksonville territory early in the game. On second down, Jamaal motions to the outside to a receiver's position. They have a fairly basic route tree here, with Dwayne running a curl in the slot, Donnie running an out, and Fasano running a drag underneath. But the key here is Jamaal. As he motions outside, a linebacker follows him out into the flat. That tells Alex that he's got man coverage against the linebacker. A huge mismatch. As the play starts, you can see Alex looks that way from the start. The throw is on target, and Jamaal grabs it for a big gain, setting up the Chiefs' first touchdown of the season.
That's a wide receiver's route. And Mitch, he ran that about as well as you can run it.
Very impressive. And what's exciting, Kendall, is you know Andy Reid right now is thinking of another 200 ways to use Jamaal Charles this season.
Stay tuned. When Red and Gold returns, we go behind the scenes at last year's NFL draft and relive the moment with number one overall pick, Eric Fisher.
It was something that, you know, not many people get to experience. It's such an honor.
Welcome back to Red and Gold. On Thursday, the Chiefs are slotted to pick 23rd in the first round of the NFL draft. It was a different story a year ago, as the Chiefs had possession of the number one overall pick. In this week's Access Arrowhead, 65 TPT takes you behind the scenes in the team selection of Central Michigan tackle Eric Fisher.
This is the first overall pick of a draft, and it's a waiting game. Half of the first 10 minutes has gone by. There's four and change to go. He may be the guy, but we don't know sure.
Turned it in.
We're going to take him.
With the first pick in the 2013 NFL draft, the Kansas City Chiefs select Eric Fisher, tackle, Central Michigan.
So talk about a first. First time in a long time that we didn't know who the first overall pick was going to be. And a first, it's a Central Michigan Chippewa.
To be honest, draft night, I really don't even remember. I remember my phone ringing and then it was kind of like blackout. It was something that, you know, not many people get to experience. Just watching the YouTube video of Roger Goodell calling my name brings the moment to life. And it's so cool just, you know, when he says my name. It's such an honor.
Alex, what's going on, man? Not much. You ready for another Chippewa?
Being the first pick in the NFL draft was it's still surreal. It's such a great opportunity. There's a lot of expectations at the same time, which just makes me want to push myself more. And, you know, I expect a lot of myself.
How do you feel? I feel great. I am so pumped to be a Kansas City Chief.
You know, I wanted to be number one in this, and the fact that that just happened is it's just awesome. Yeah, it's funny. Everybody asks me, like, what'd you do after the draft? Well, after my name was called, I did like 3 hours of media. And then I went to bed because I had to get up at 4 a.m. to come to Kansas City.
Special welcome to Mr. Eric Fisher, the NFL's number one draft pick for 2013. Mr. Fisher is now an offensive tackle with the Kansas City Chiefs.
It's probably like a sea of red.
It's John. How you doing, Eric? Real good. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
How are you?
Good to see you.
Welcome to Kansas City.
Welcome to Kansas City. Thank you for this opportunity.
It's a very exciting time here today. Welcome, Eric, to the Kansas City Chiefs family. Today gives you a chance to kind of see why we're excited to have him as our first pick in the 2013 draft.
I've been blessed to coach some really good players, but never a draft pick drafted as high as Eric. And it's a great responsibility.
April 25th, you know, I was the first pick, but, you know, I come to OTAs. I'm still just a rookie like everyone else who just got here.
He's adapting to what's going on. He's not coming in scared. He's not shy. He knows he has a big task or whatever, but he comes in ready to work every day. You're always going to have rookie mistakes and stuff like that, but he has his head on straight and, you know, pretty much just working.
This guy, he's got his hard hat, his lunch pail. He wants to get better, and he's humble about it. He knows he's got to earn his stripes. He knows he's got things he can improve upon, so he's really taking everything in. And again, it goes back to coachability. This is a guy that I think we can help become even better.
Thanks for joining us here on Red and Gold. As you already know, the NFL draft is only a few days away. So be sure to check out kcchiefs.com for exclusive coverage leading up to the big weekend and during the draft, as we'll keep you up to date with all of the news and notes. Until next time, go Chiefs!
Toss power trap.